To Helen, the gods had granted no more offspring once she had borne her first child, the breathtaking Hermione, a luminous beauty, gold as Aphrodite. So now they feasted within the grand high-roofed palace, all the kin and clansmen of Menelaus in his glory, revelling warmly here, as in their midst an inspired bard sang out and struck his lyre, and through them a pair of tumblers dashed and sprang, whirling in leaping handsprings, leading on the dance. The travellers, Nestor's shining son and Prince Telemachus, had brought themselves and their horses to a standstill just outside the court, when good Lord Eetionius, passing through the gates now, saw them there, and the ready aid in arms of Menelaus took the message through his sovereign's halls, and stepping close to his master broke the news. "Strangers have arrived, your majesty, Menelaus. Two men. But they look like kin of mighty Zeus himself. Tell me, should we unhitch their team for them, or send them to someone free to host them well?" The red-haired king took great offence at that. "Never a fool before, Eetionius, son of Boethus. Now I see you're babbling like a child. Just think of all the hospitality we enjoyed at the hands of other men before we made it home. And God save us from such hard treks in years to come. Quick, unhitch their team and bring them in, strangers, guests, to share our flowing feast." Back through the halls he hurried, calling out to other brisk attendants to follow quickly. They loosed the sweating team from under the yoke, tethered them fast by reins inside the horse stalls, tossing feed of their hoofs, white barley mixed with wheat, and canted the chariot up against the polished walls, shimmering in the sun, then ushered in their guests into that magnificent place. Both struck by the sight, they marvelled up and down the house of the warlord dear to Zeus. A radiance strong as the moon or rising sun came flooding through the high-roofed halls of illustrious Menelaus. Once they'd feasted their eyes with gazing at it all, into the burnished tubs they climbed and bathed. When women had washed them, rubbed them down with oil, and drawn warm fleece and shirts around their shoulders, they took up seats of honour next to Atrides Menelaus. A maid brought water soon in a graceful golden pitcher, and over a silver basin tipped it out, so they might rinse their hands, then pulled a gleaming table to their side. A staid housekeeper brought on bread to serve them, appetizers aplenty too, lavish with her bounty. As a carver lifted platters of meat toward them, meats of every sort, and set before them golden cups, the red-haired king Menelaus greeted both guests warmly. "Help yourselves to food and welcome. Once you've dined, we'll ask you who you are, but your parents' blood is hardly lost in you. You must be born of kings, bred by the gods to wield the royal scepter. No mean men could sire sons like you." With those words, he passed them a fat, rich loin with his own hands, the choicest part that he'd been served himself. They reached for the good things that lay outspread, and when they'd put aside desire for food and drink, Telemachus, leaning his head close to Nestor's son, spoke low to the prince so no one else could hear. "Look, Pisistratus, joy of my heart, my friend, the sheen of bronze, the blaze of gold and amber, silver, ivory, too, through all this echoing mansion. Surely Zeus's court on Olympus must be just like this. The boundless glory of all this wealth inside, my eyes dazzle, I'm struck with wonder." But the red-haired warlord overheard his guest, and cut in quickly with winged words for both. "No man alive could rival Zeus, dear boys, with his everlasting palace and possessions. But among men, I must say, few if any could rival me in riches. Believe me, much I suffered. Many a mile I roved to haul such treasures home in my ships, 8 years out, wandering off as far as Cyprus, Phoenicia, even Egypt. I reached the Ethiopians, Sidonians, Erembians, Libya too, where lambs no sooner spring from the womb than they grow horns. 3 times in the circling year the ewes give birth, so no one, neither king nor shepherd, could want for cheese or mutton or sweet milk either. Udders swell for the sucklings round the year. But while I roamed these lands, amassing a fortune, a stranger killed my brother, blind to the danger, blind, thanks to the cunning of his cursed murderous queen. So I